Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with your brother, your servant in Christ, yours truly. Well, I'm going to talk about the subject of hostility towards the man of God. Boy, I tell you, I was on the money. And not because I'm a prophet, but because these people are predictable. They're predictable. I knew that once I released the ebook, Jackass Church Bishops, that there was going to be a hostile response. These people were going to go crazy. Some of them, you know, we know that they cuss. We know that these people cuss worse than a drunken sailor, and they are cussing now. They are mad. Who's mad? Well, members of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, they're mad. Why? Well, I'm going to explain shortly why they're mad, and the reason why they're mad is because the party's over. The party is essentially over, and not only are the bishops mad, but their suck-ups are mad. They call themselves adjutants. Another name for an adjutant is an armor-bearer. Another name for an armor-bearer is a flunky, a stooge, a jackanapes. Their bosses are jackasses, but the stooges who serve the jackasses are jackanapes. Well, you know, the jackasses don't come. The jackasses do not come at you directly. What they do is they send their stooges. And on May 7th, Tuesday, May 7th, we started to do email blast, and we started to let people know that this new ebook was available free of charge. And boy, did I get some, I got some doozy of responses. One person that I know for many years, called me a turncoat, and told me to get me off of their, get them off of my list. Take me off your list. I don't ever want to hear from you again. You are a disgrace. Okay. Now, before the book came out, they couldn't give me enough praise. They couldn't say, oh, we love your classes. Oh, how we love your classes. Oh, what a wonderful teacher you are. Oh, you're so full of revelation and truth. We love you because you are a man who stands up for the truth. Well, when the truth affects their bishop, they don't like it. Now I'm no longer speaking truth. I'm a turncoat. I'm a Judas. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a hater. So one person says, don't you ever send me another email like this. Take me off your list. And this is what it sounded like. This is what it sounded like. This person I'm talking about. This person that, I mean, you can just see them foaming at the mouth. So, and I'm talking figuratively because I'm reading it off the email. I can just see how they were foaming at the mouth through the email, and it sounded like this. That was one fool, one poor soul, who has been so lobotomized. This person no longer thinks for themselves. Their leader does all the thinking for them. So I got an email, you know, telling me I was a turncoat, a Judas, a Pharisee, and for me never to contact them again, that I should take them off of their list. Take their name off of my list. Don't ever send me another email again. I'm going to block you. Okay, no problem. No problem. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Then I got another email. Someone was asking me what gives me the right to call this group of illustrious men and women jackasses. So I replied back. They didn't ask me for the book. I mean, they just got my advertisement. They said, why are you calling them jackass church bishops? How dare you? What gives you the right to call these people jackass? So I emailed the person back. I said, listen, get the ebook, and you'll see my biblical argument that I am in my biblical right to call them jackasses. Jesus called Herod a fox. John the Baptist called the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he called them vipers. Ezekiel called false leaders wolves. Paul called the Judaizers dogs. Peter called false prophets sows, female pigs. I'm just following biblical precedent, but people don't read. People don't read. So I said, get my book. Let me send you my book. I don't want it. Don't send it to me. I don't want to read it. So then I emailed back. So you're closing your eyes to the truth. You are like what the Apostle Peter said. These are willfully ignorant. They will themselves to be stupid. So one person is mad. You Judas, you devil, you. You hater. I never thought you would stoop this low. Get my name off your list. And I'm telling you, this person, every time my class was posted, this person would not miss taking my classes. This person said, do you do any personal mentoring? I said, no, I'm too busy. I do mass mentoring. You take my classes, you're one of 100, you take my classes, that's how I mentor people. I don't have the time to be doing one-on-one. I don't do that. Oh, because if you did, I would be one of your disciples. Now I'm a Judas. Now, all of a sudden, I'm the same guy. I'm the same guy. Same guy. The same guy who taught truth back then, still teaching truth today. But they want nothing to do with me. Another person who knows me well says, what gives you the right to call them jackasses? How dare you? You have no Bible to... Again, read my book. You know me. You know that if I say something, I can back it up. Those of you listening to this broadcast right now know very well that when I say something, I can back it up with the Bible. I'm not going to tell you the Holy Spirit told me. I'm not going to tell you, you know, I got a download from the Holy Spirit. I don't talk like that. I say, thus saith the Scriptures. This is what the Scripture says in such and such a place. Everything I say, I can back it up with the Bible. So how, what are you doing calling them? You have no right. You're not acting like Jesus. You're right, I'm not acting like Jesus because Jesus went more ballistic. Just read Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Jesus went crazy on the Pharisees and the scribes. You hypocrites! No, you're right. I didn't get to the level of Jesus. You're right. I'm following in his footsteps, but I'm not there yet. Oh, Jesus went crazy. Oh, he gave it to them. He gave them, listen, right between the eyes, Jesus gave them a biblical 2x4 right between the eyes. They didn't know what hit them. They didn't know what hit them. Then the other email that I got telling me how I'm going to fall apart, they're decreeing and declaring my demise. These people are into witchcraft. Because anyone who decrees and declares, and don't quote me Job 22:28, don't be that stupid to quote me Job 22:28, because I'll give you a Hebrew word study and I'll show you that what you think that verse says is not what that verse says. Your decreeing and declaring is witchcraft. That's what that is. So you're decreeing and declaring my demise. Didn't Jesus say that you ought to pray for your enemies? But you see, you think that I'm full of the devil, and you're decreeing and declaring that I get cancer, that I suffer a stroke. That's witchcraft. That's putting curses on people. When Jesus, our Lord and Savior and head of the church, say, pray for your enemies. You're not praying for me. You're wishing my destruction. Again, without cause. Because to all of these people who got nasty through their emails, all I'm trying to do is turn you around from get you out of the harlot church. The harlot church. Now listen, all of this was predictable. Look, all of this, when you do an email blast like this, all of this is predictable. You're going to hear from the leaders that follow these bishops. you're going to hear them getting nasty. And if they could get their hands around my neck, oh, they would just squeeze me, punch me in the face, stomp on me. Because these people, listen, they're out of control. They get their allegiance to their leader blinds them to the truth, blinds them to the truth. And this is what you, I mean, this is what you're going to hear. This is what you're going to hear. You're going to hear that from them, those who serve the bishop, and you're going to hear this from the bishops. You're going to hear this on Sunday morning. Trust me when I tell you, on Sunday morning, you're going to hear some bishops in the pulpit mention that there's a book out there and you ought to stay away from it because the devil is trying to circumvent his leadership and this person is an emissary of Satan. And you know I'm not an emissary of Satan. I just can't be bought. And this is what you're going to hear on Sunday morning. Now, I predicted all of this. I predicted it. Let me tell you where I predicted it. And this is why I want everybody to get the book. This is why I want everybody to get the book. Because I predicted this. Let me read to you the short synopsis of the book. Let me just read to you the short synopsis. If you were to read this short, which is just two paragraphs, this tells you what the book is all about. The book title is Jackass Church Bishops. It says, the kind of book African-American bishops feared would be written and now worry their local church members and ministerial staffs will read. Again, the title of the book is Jackass Church Bishops. The kind of book African-American bishops feared would be written and now worry, they're worried to death that their local church members and ministerial staffs will read. Let me read the two paragraph synopsis. And you're going to listen, when you request the book, this is what you're going to get. You're going to read this. This is right in the beginning of the book. It says, prophetic author, Moses Henry Jones. Now, think about that. If you are a prophetic author like the authors in the Bible, well, you can expect your head to be on a platter, like John the Baptist's head was put on a platter. Now, we have many prophets in the church today that their head is never on a platter. Their calendars are full, and they're at a different church every night prophesying to people. I'm not talking about those prophets. I'm talking about someone who is really prophetic. Someone who, like God said to Isaiah, cry aloud and spare not. When you cry aloud and spare not, they're going to want to silence your voice. So prophetic author Moses Henry Jones has written a highly provocative work. Highly provocative. I knew the book was going to be highly I knew it. That's why we're getting the kind of reactions that we're getting. Prophetic author. When you speak prophetically to people, you point out their sin. You tell them why they need to get right with God. The same way when God sent Nathan to tell David, you're the man who killed Uriah, you're the man who took Uriah's wife, and David repented before the Lord. It's like when God sent Elijah to rebuke Ahab and say to him, there won't be dew nor rain rain upon the earth because of your sins and because of your idolatry for the next 3 years. It's that kind of prophetic ministry. Not the kind of prophetic ministry where they tell you what your social security number is and what numbers to play in the lotto the next day and how much money you need to sow so that you can get a breakthrough. No, not that kind of prophetic ministry. Not the kind of prophetic ministry that tickles ears. But the kind of prophetic ministry that is provocative and it's going to get you mad because you don't want to hear it. So let me continue reading. Prophetic author Moses Henry Jones has written a highly provocative work no serious Christian can afford to ignore, and no member of the Joint College of African American Bishops can flippantly dismiss or ever discredit. Listen, they can't tell people, I don't read that book. No. See, you cannot flippantly dismiss this book, nor can you discredit it after you read it. This book has no holes in it, has no biblical holes, has no theological holes. This book has no chink in its armor. Jackass Church Bishops is an impeccably researched book which will prove to be a nightmarish read. Nightmare. These bishops are going to have nightmares. Will prove to be a nightmarish read for every African-American minister who has made the asinine choice, and I emphasize asinine, has made the asinine choice of jumping into bed with the harlot church of Revelation 17, and now bray, like those donkeys we just heard, and now bray Roman Catholic gibberish 24/7. Each of the 15 chapters in this book are edge of your seat, riveting and satirically prophetic, deriding, it derides, it makes fun of all phony prelates and bombastic clerics who hee-haw the fairy tale of apostolic succession. And boy, does J. Delano Ellis love to push that baloney, that malarkey of apostolic succession, which is a complete lie, an invention of Satan. Each of the 15 chapters in this book are edge of your seat, riveting and satirically prophetic, deriding all phony prelates and bombastic clerics who hee-haw the fairy tale of apostolic succession. They show you, they say, look at this. They tout worthless certificates of episcopacy. These certificates that they give these bishops when they elevate them, they're as big as a carpet. I kid you not. They tout worthless certificates of episcopacy and trot about dressed in exquisite medieval-style garments, acting like a bunch of giddy Cinderellas on their way to the papal ball. Oh, I tell you, this is great writing. I tell you, this is, I got to pat myself on the back. This is great writing. I go on to say, Jackass Church Bishops is a polarizing book that will be vehemently trashed by every Episcopal Jack and Jenny which has joined the ministerial ranks of pagan Rome and lauded and praised and appreciated by all who stand fast in the faith and vigorously oppose the Roman Catholic invasion of the African-American church. He that hath an ear, and all jackasses have two big long ones, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this late hour of human history. Jackass Church Bishops is a blockbuster of a book that is bound to make each member of the Joint College of African-American Bishops braying mad. And Mr. Moses Henry Jones, public enemy number one. Now, was that spot on? I wrote that in 2017. In 2017, I wrote that. Is that spot on or what? So when I got these emails back, now, not all the emails were like that. Some were. I expected that. I mean, this is the synopsis of the book. I knew that there was going to be two reactions. Some people were going to hate it and hate me. I was going to be public enemy number one, and some people were going to love it and do me the favor. They would help me. They would do me the favor of telling others that they need to get the book. So this doesn't surprise me. This comes with the territory. If you do what I do, listen, for many years, I was just a teacher. And listen, most of you out there know me as the teacher. But in recent years, because of the downturn in the church, because of the apostasy in the church, highlighted by the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church, I had to go from teacher to prophet. That's what I had to do. I had to stop teaching. I had to stop teaching classes, which all of you out there loved. You loved to go to my classes, especially my summer classes. You loved my summer classes, my month-long summer class in June, my month-long summer class in July, my month-long summer class. You loved my classes, standing room only. I gave all that up on the command of the Lord to start writing books that I knew some would hate and those who loved Jesus would love. And I can really care less. I could really care less if I become public enemy number. I could care less. Because I only have to please one, and that's my Lord and Savior, who died for me, who gave himself for me. I owe no allegiance to anyone but Jesus. I am his servant. I'm under his royal commission. It is he who saved me and called me and commissioned me and sent me forth, and I do his bidding. So I can care less if you love me or if you hate me. Either way, I could care less. Because the only accolade that matters in the end is his, when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's all that matters. So I expected this kind of reaction. I expect that if people see me in public, I expect them to take a swing at me or to grab me by the neck or to spit at me or to curse at me or to, you know, say some of the things that were said in the email. I expect that. Because people have blind allegiance to their leaders, blind allegiance to their leaders, and have no allegiance to Christ. And if you really loved your pastor, if you really loved your bishop, you would say to him or her, "You're headed down the wrong path. You're headed down the wrong path. You have joined up with Rome, and you're leading us down the wrong path." But since you don't love them, what you do love is you love your position. You love your rank. You have a love of self. Because you're only a carbon copy of your leader who loves himself or herself. That's the problem. So now, why are they mad? Listen. Why are they mad? Well, they're mad because the party's over. The party is over. Listen, saints, let me play this little song for you, and maybe I can put it in a biblical context. And what I mean, why they mad, and I'm referring to the members of the Joint College of Bishops, I'm referring to all the bishop elects out there, and the bishops, and the suffragan bishops, and the archbishops, all of these different bishops. The coadjutor bishop, all of these different kinds of bishops mentioned in Jay Delano's dopey book, The Bishopric. in that asinine little pamphlet that he put together, all those bishops, those five bishops mentioned there, those are the ones who are mad, and they're crying. And I'm going to tell you why they're crying. They're crying because the party is over, and I'm going to put it in a biblical Babylon context. But I want to play this song first. Listen to this song. And this song, for some of you, this ought to bring back memories to some of you, if you are as old as I am. Now, you got to remember that song. That was a party favorite back in the day. Back in the day, that was a party favorite. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. I'll cry if I want to. And you would cry, too, if it happened to you. Well, what does that have to do with bishops? It has everything to do with bishops. Let me take you to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel, chapter 5. And there was a king reigning in Babylon. And believe it or not, your bishop has set up a little Babylon in your church. That's his little Babylon. And he's living large, or she's living large. And they're having a good time. These self-proclaimed monarchs, because that's what a bishop is, according to J. Delano Ellis, according to Eric Daniel Garns. That's what a bishop is. They're little monarchs, they're little kings. Well, there was a king in Babylon who was having a party. And he went and he got the vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the house of God. And he took the golden vessels, the sanctified vessels, the vessels that had been consecrated to the service of Jehovah. And this king by the name of Belshazzar took these vessels and he polluted them. The same way your bishop has polluted the holy vessels, which are the saints. He's polluted, she's polluted the vessels by bringing them into a Babylonian captivity. And in Daniel chapter 5, we're going to read about Belshazzar and what happened to him. Now, of course, when God smashed his party, God crashed his party, because King Belshazzar sees a handwriting on the wall. It's the hand of God. It's the finger of God. And the king is just bewildered. And what is this? And before he was living it up, he was hamming it up. Go get the vessels. Get some more wine. Get some champagne. We're having a great time here. But things changed when the hand appeared and began to write on the wall. And King Belshazzar just freaked out. Freaked out. Because this handwriting on the wall that began to write was unexpected. He did not expect this thing to happen. The same way the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops never expected this book to show up when it has. And through this book, God is crashing their party. Because they've defiled the people of God, leading them back to Babylon. And, of course, Belshazzar gets his astrologers, and he gets his magicians, and he gets his wizards, and he says, help me, tell me, what does all of this mean? And none of them could tell him what the handwriting on the wall meant, and they had to get a prophet of God by the name of Daniel to break it down and make it plain. It always takes a prophet of God to tell the people what the heck is going on in the church. It always takes a prophet of God to crash a party for the Lord. A party crasher. Someone who just destroys the jovial mood. You know, everybody's laughing and just enjoying themselves until the prophet shows up and starts prophesying, and now the mood is broken. No one's laughing anymore. No one's happy anymore. And what does this word mean? And this is what it means. So let's go to Daniel chapter 5. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. And that's why, listen. That's why I can play this little song here, because this is what's happening to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops in each of their local churches. Their members now are getting this book. It's a free ebook. You can't stop me from sending it to them. You can't block me. Anyone who wants the ebook can get it, and they can read the handwriting on the wall. And that's why now these bishops are mad. They're depressed. They're bewildered, because they know that the party is over. Their little party. See, it's only going to come crashing down for the jackass church bishops. This book is really to expose them, to expose what they've done to themselves, how they have led themselves astray, how they have basically sold their souls to the devil for some bogus, elevated position that Christ never intended them to have. It's not part of the ministry package. They've been lied to by the likes of J. Delano Ellis and his stooges. We're back in Babylon. Now, Daniel chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Let's read all the way down to verse number 29.
Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will shew the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not shew me the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom.
You see, my brothers and sisters, when you go and you take the Lord's house, like your bishop has done, and turns it into a satellite ministry of Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots, God is going to judge you. God is going to start writing. God is going to crash your party. When you listen, these bishops never expected for a book like this to have been written. And they never expected for this book to be given out freely. They said, well, maybe he'll sell it and nobody will buy it. Well, I'm not selling. See, I want as many people as possible to get their hands on this book, because I'm not in it for the profits. I'm in it to have their eyes open, to have them turned around, and to have them hear the word of the Lord, which is, come out from among her, ye my people, for her sins have reached heaven, and I will judge her today. God is calling his people out of the mystery Babylon system, of which your bishop is part of. So God has crashed his party. And like Belshazzar, what do you think he's going to be doing? Well, he's going to be crying. Well, now everybody, when they read this book, everybody's going to know that your bishop is a jackass. Just 15 chapters that show how stupid he or she really is to have believed the lies pushed by J. Delano Ellis and his stooges. They believed the lie. Hook, line, and sinker. Your pastor bought it. You just had a simple pastor and bought the lie of satanic elevation, and is now dressed in the colors of Babylon. Of course, listen, the church is going to empty out. The party's over. The tithers are going to be gone. Nobody wants to be part of a church that God will judge. Just read Revelation 17 and 18. The church of Babylon is doomed. You're laughing now like Belshazzar was. You're drinking it up like Belshazzar did. You're living it up like Belshazzar until the handwriting's on the wall. And soon after the handwriting, soon after that is the judgment. Belshazzar was judged the same day. God says to his people in Revelation 18, verse 4, come out of her, my people. I am going to judge her today. This is a prophetic book. Jackass Church Bishops is a prophetic book. Now, if you want to continue to follow the jackass, be my guest, but you ought to be following Jesus. The party's over. And this is why I'll be public enemy number one. That's okay. I knew that was, listen, it's part of the territory. Now, when you get my ebook, you'll go to chapter 2. In chapter 2, I dedicate a whole chapter to Episcopal crybabies and their staunch defenders. Go to chapter 2, starting on page 19. There is a whole chapter. I tell you from the beginning, your bishop, when you start to read this book and when he starts to read this book or when she starts to read, they're going to know that the jig is up. They're going to start crying like Belshazzar cried. The party's over. Episcopal crybabies and their staunch, dogged defenders. Listen, I got emails from people who haven't even read the book and are attacking me. They're going to defend their jackass pastor till the end. They are staunch defenders. I'm not going to be able to persuade them. They're going to defend their pastor till the end. They are blinded. The God of this world has blinded their minds that they might not see the truth. They're blinded. Your bishop's going to be crying, but you're going to be cursing. I know that. Your bishop's going to say, look what they're saying about me, and you're going to start decreeing and declaring that I get cancer, that a car run me over. I mean, you folk can get nasty. I've seen it before. I've seen it many times. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't bother me. Listen, you can send all the nasty emails you want. I'm going to go to sleep like a baby. Like a baby. Because I would have done what a prophet should do. Like Ezekiel said, he said, if I don't tell you the truth, your blood is on my hands, but if I do tell you the truth, your blood is in your own hands. I'm going to sleep like a baby because I fulfilled my commission. I'm going to sleep like a baby because I know that I did everything I possibly could to get you to turn around and come out of the Babylonian church. I tried everything I could, but you were as stubborn. You were as stiff-necked as the donkey. I give you all the characteristics of the donkey in the book. I show you how rebellious a donkey can be. So I dedicate a whole chapter to the fact that your bishop cannot read this book and not cry. Listen, there is no bishop out there that can read this book and say, it doesn't bother me. Oh, it's going to bother them because it's the truth. It's the handwriting on the wall. It's the truth. And one of the things that will make a bishop cry is when he or she knows that members are going to leave the church because that means money's leaving the church. And they're so used to their opulent lifestyle. They're so used to living off the backs of the people. They're so used to living high on the hog that they're going to be worried not for their souls. They can care less about their souls. They're going to be crying because they're not going to be able to change the car next year. They're not going to be able to take their old car and hand it into the dealer and get a new car. Those days are over. Penny-pinching days are coming for the bishops when their churches empty out. They're going to be crying because he's going to have to say to the First Lady, baby, we can't live the way we used to live. We lost two-thirds of our congregation. They're going to be crying. But then there's going to be a few, that say, Pastor, don't worry, we're with you to the end. Pastor, don't worry. We'll be here, Pastor. We got your backpack to the end. Even though the ship is sinking. There are some people just like that. Here's another thing. Here's another reason why these people are going to be crying and cursing. Bishops will be crying and their staunch leaders will be cursing at me because the people will soon discover when they get this ebook that back in 2017, I was very busy putting together a 95 thesis tailor-made for the African-American church. So if you're not getting enough from the book, if you want more than the book, If you want more Brother Jones, where can I get more of this stuff? Where can I get more of this teaching? Well, back in 2017, I put together a 95 thesis tailor-made for the African-American church that dealt with the Roman Catholic invasion of the African-American church, and it's right here on this broadcast. There are 95 shows that have been archived. The same way Martin Luther prepared a 95 thesis and nailed it to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church so everybody can read it, I have put together back in 2002 years ago, I was working behind the scenes. I was doing my due diligence. I was being faithful to my assignment, and I put together 95. Listen. If the books aren't enough, you got 95 shows, 95 broad. And that, listen, I'm not even covering the stuff in the books there. That's going to make these bishops, wait a minute, this guy did 95 shows? Yes, 95 shows that people can go to and listen. And you'll find the information for that on page 246. Of this book, Jackass, all the information that you need to know where you can listen to these shows, these 95 shows, starting out with thesis number one and then follow up with thesis number two. Let me tell you, this 95 thesis is amazing. Amazing. You're going to be blessed. Your eyes are going to be open. I mean, we just lay out all the information that you need to know, and there is no way this information can be argued against. There's no way. There's no way you can dismantle anything I said because it's all Bible-based and history-based. So not only this book, not only Jackass Church Bishops, but in addition to that, you got 95 audio shows that you can listen. You can get groups of people to sit around the kitchen table, let's say on a Wednesday night, for 95 consecutive Wednesday nights. You can set up a new little Reformation club. You can sit at home and say, okay, this is thesis number 42 this Wednesday. And all you have to do is put your computer on with your speaker, and everybody can sit there and take notes. And you can do this for 95 Wednesdays. That's 2 years of Wednesdays. 2 years of Wednesdays. where you can disciple people, deprogram them from all the garbage that they got from J. Delano Ellis and the Joint College of African American Bishops. Deprogram the people. So it's not just the book. It's the 95 broadcast. Then, in addition to that, saints, these people are going to be crying because there's a whole series of books coming. For example, listen, let me, on starting on page 250, on page 250, I begin to list all the books that you can have in the months to come. All the books. For example, you can get the book Draconian Tsunami. Draconian Tsunami, free of charge. All you have to do is email me like you did for this book, and I will send you the new book, Draconian Tsunami. What's that about? You say, what's Draconian Tsunami? Showing how the great serpent dragon, Satan, is currently flooding the African-American church with Anglo-Catholic bishops, fortune-telling wizards, and prophesying witches in order to wipe the historic black church off the face of the earth. That's based on Revelation 12:15. Let me read that to you again. Draconian Tsunami, another book you can have, another book you can request, another book that you can study. Draconian Tsunami, what does that book do for you? It shows how the great serpent dragon Satan is currently flooding the African-American church with Anglo-Catholic bishops, fortune-telling wizards, and prophesying witches in order to wipe the historic black church off the face of the earth. That's just one book. Here's another book that you can have very shortly. Episcopal Babel, showing how the Joint College of African American Bishops is nothing more than an elevation mill. Have you ever heard of a diploma mill? Well, the Joint College of African American Bishops is nothing more than an elevation mill, which leads to nowhere, the foolish creation of a new generation of apostate Nimrods. That's another book I have. Here's another book that you can have very soon. It's called The Cushite Woman Now Rides the Beast. I'm sure you've heard of Dave Hunt's book, The Woman Rides the Beast. Well, this is the Cushite woman. What's the term Cushite is black. The black woman or the black church now rides the beast. Now the black church is taking her turn of riding the beast. Who's the beast? The Antichrist. How the African-American church is being taken for a soul-damning ride by its Anglo-Catholic bishops who are in bed with Papal Rome and now push Antichrist's end-time ecumenical agenda. Should I go on? I mean, think about it. These are all the books that will be available to you. Here's another book, Simonic Succession. You know how J. Delano Ellis is always making it a point that we succeed from Simon Peter? Well, Simonic Succession, showing how the Joint College of African American Bishops really succeed, not Simon Peter, but Simon Magus and Simple Simon in the Episcopate. Here's another book, Devil's Rising. How Christ and his church are presently being betrayed by a rapidly emerging college of Episcopal Judases. Here's another book, The Egyptian Captivity of the African American Church, showing how the Joint College of African American Bishops has adopted the pharaonic model of governance, enslaving God's people from generation to generation. Oh, they don't want you to read that, baby. Oh, no. How about this book? This one is going to shake some churches to its very foundation. Lesbo Bishoprics, documenting how the Joint College of African American Bishops fosters spiritual lesbianism every time it consecrates a female bishop. Look, the books just go on and on and on, and they're ready. They're waiting for you. Listen, the books are waiting for you. They're not just going to cry because of jackass church bishops. They're not just going to cry because there's a 95 thesis. Listen, back in 2017, I was just being faithful to my assignment, doing the broadcast. I knew one day it would pay off, and that day has come. The handwriting is on the wall. God has crashed the party. And it's time to start a new reformation. And I've done everything humanly possible on my end to be faithful to the assignment. And all you have to do on your end is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. All you have to do, listen to me, dear listener, all you have to do is say, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? Why, if my pastor is into the truth, if my pastor says that he's in the right, that he is a member of the Joint College of Bishops and he's done everything right, why would he fear me reading this book? My brothers and sisters, this book, Jackass Church Bishop, has 15 chapters, 245 pages, and 257 footnotes. I document everything in this book, everything. Your pastor can't document what he said. Your pastor cannot document the gibberish coming out of his mouth or her mouth. They cannot document a single thing. I document everything. And what I document lines up with the Word of God. And this is God reaching out to folk in the black church, telling them to come out of Mystery Babylon. So all you have to, listen, saints, all you have to do is get your copy. I'm not asking, listen, I'm not telling you, give me $20 and I'll send you a copy. No, I'm giving you the book right now. I'm giving you the book right now. Will Benny Hinn give you a free book? Will Mike Murdoch give you a free book? Will Paula White give you a free book? Nobody out there is giving you a free book. They want you to pay for your book. Nobody out there is giving you a free prophecy. You better get on that line with $1,000 if you want a prophecy. They don't give out free prophecies. You know that. I'm giving you a free book. And all you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and you will get your copy. And tell your friends, tell your coworkers, tell your neighbors. Those who are Christian, tell them about the book. They'll get a free copy. Let everyone read for themselves, and let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you to all truth. And I can assure you, if your pastor tried to take this book apart, he couldn't. He could not take this book apart. If he said, okay, every Tuesday night, we're going to get together and we're going to discuss this one chapter in the book, Jackass Church Bishops, and let me show you why this chapter is wrong. He couldn't do it. She wouldn't be able, your female bishop wouldn't be able to do it. They can't take it apart. It has no holes in it. These arguments are ironclad. And the reason they don't want you to read the book is because they fear that their party will be over. You have to decide if you're going to stay more loyal to your bishop than to Christ. You have to decide if you're going to stay in Mystery Babylon rather than being in the real church of the Lord. You're going to have to make that decision. But remember, all those decisions have eternal consequences. And I have done my due diligence. I've been working for years on this, and now it's time. Now it's time for you folk out there to put on your thinking caps, for you folk out there to grab your Bibles, for you folk out there to start reading these books very carefully, and you ought to be Bereans, and you ought to see if what I am saying is so. You should check out everything, and if it is so, if it is true, you have a decision to make. So let your pastor get mad. Let him foam at the mouth. Let him decree and declare my demise. That's not going to stop me. I'm going to listen. I've been working on these books now for some years. We're set to go. The Reformation is set to begin. We've already launched on May 7th. Postcards are being made. We're ready to go down to the different cities, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. We're gonna go to Mississippi. We're gonna give out the postcards. These books are gonna go viral because the people in Germany, all they need to do is request in Germany. The people in England, all they need to do is request the book. In Africa, all they need to do is request the book. It's easy. You request, I click, I send, you get the book, you start reading, your eyes get open, you turn back to Jesus. It's simple. It was simple for Martin Luther. All Martin Luther did was nail that thing on the wall, and the thing took off. The Reformation took off. How did it take off? By word of mouth. Word of mouth. And today, with all the technology that we have and all the word of mouth, this first book, Jackass Church Bishop, is just going to crisscross the globe, and that's going to make these bishops cry. They're going to be crying. So go ahead, keep sending me the nasty emails, keep telling me that I'm going to go to hell, keep wishing that a car would run me over, keep telling me that I'm going to get cancer. Go ahead. That's not going to deter me. That's not going to stop me. Call me a hater. Call me a Pharisee. Call me a child of the devil. That's not going to deter me because I'm on a mission. I've been on a mission. And whatever I got left, I'm going to give it to the saving of souls. God bless you, dear saints of God. That's it for today. Keep the good emails coming. If you want to send the bad emails, keep them coming. And I'm going to keep the books coming. The books are coming. All you have to do, saints, now is request them. Please let other people know that they can get this free ebook. It's 15 chapters. It's an easy read. You're going to cry sometimes. You're going to laugh sometimes. But you're going to get smart all of the time. And that's what we want. God bless you, saints. I love you much in Jesus. Even the ones that hate me, I still love you. God bless you. Thank you.